God has the next step for you. God has the next step for me. In other words, there's another place where you can be more generous, whether it's your time, your talent, your treasure. There's always growth in the kingdom of God.
Welcome to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This is week 3 in the series, Generous. Now here is Pastor Nate and Pastor Jason.
Right. Hey, good morning. It's pretty good. Good morning. Pastor Nate right over here. And we've got the good-looking Pastor Jason. Every time I see this guy, look at that haircut. Fresh. Mine was fresh this morning, too, in case you were wondering. Yeah, well, it's so great seeing everyone here today. Welcome again to Portland Christian Center, and we are just glad that you're here. And one of the things that, man, we just value and love about PCC is every generation is here. I want you to look around real quick. Look at all the generations. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, amen.
Some of you are like, I'm not sure. Yes, that's cool. Yes. And one of the things that we just want you to know, we just care about every person. And one of the things that we wanted to be make sure you knew about as a body is that, how many of you know Don and Norma Shockley? Remember those people? Yes, they're amazing people. We love them. Norma went to be with the Lord on Wednesday. And I wanted to read this to you. Today would have been her 84th birthday. But she gets to celebrate in heaven. Come on. Let's give the Lord a praise for that. She loves the Lord. And many of you are aware we've been praying for her body, but she is no longer suffering, no more pain. But they want to let everyone know that there's no service arrangements have made this time. But instead of flowers to the family, Norma would like any donations made to her daughter and son-in-law. That is Caleb and Jeanette. They are up in Tacoma at Sound Life Church. And if you want to give to that ministry, that would be a blessing to them. Caleb and Jeanette were youth pastors here a few years ago, but we want to pray for Don and the family and Dot Hagebush as well, their daughter and family. So would you just pray with me? Let's just pray for that family, Lord. Thank you for Norma, Lord, the amazing life she's lived. I just love the legacy, God, of her wanting to invest in the kingdom, Lord. And I just pray for Don, Lord, and Dot, and everyone in that family, Lord Jesus, thank you for them. Thank you for their heart for ministry. But most of all, we thank you that Norma is no longer suffering. She's with you in heaven. We thank you, and we praise you, and we give you the glory in your name. Amen. 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 Well, if you're just kind of new with us and you're not sure what series we're in a series on generosity. We're talking about being generous. We are a generous church, right? Portland Christian Center. That's who we are. And last week, I just have to say it, my wife preached an amazing message, didn't she? Wasn't that incredible? Great job. So proud of you. And, you know, she asked a really big question, and that was, what kingdom are you building? Are you building with your generosity? Are we building God's kingdom, our own kingdom? And she just did a fabulous job. If you missed it, I want to encourage you, go back and watch it because it really ties into what we're doing. And then the first week we talked about generosity is love in action. And we've been asking everyone to be praying next week on the 27th. We are going to give a miracle offering. Our goal is $30,000 to bless people across the street in our own community and missionaries around the world. So I hope you've been praying. Have you been praying about your number? Who's got their number? Raise your hand if you got your number ready. Okay. Raise your hand if you're still praying about your number. Okay, lots of people praying about your number. All right, well, it's going to be an amazing day, and I can't wait to see all that God does. But really, the heart of this is this. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving.
Yeah, my previous church in California, we were in a series similar to this, and it was on tithing. And God started to work in the heart of a woman named Mary. And one Sunday, she comes up to me and she says, you know, God's really just stirring in my heart that I need to start giving, but I have a lot of obstacles that I can't get past. And I said, okay, well, you know, share this with me. And so she tells me that some of her obstacles are her husband was dying of cancer. And so you can imagine that hospital bills were just coming in. They were both retired on a fixed income. But the one that stood out to me the most was this. She said that she was embarrassed because she could only give $5. And so I was just like, man, like, she didn't think that God can do something with $5. She was embarrassed to be able to say, I can give God $5 and see what he does. And so I told her, I said, hey, Mary, you know, it comes down to this. One, what you give is between you and God. And if you know that you're giving everything you can, then that's what matters. But what you need to do is just remain faithful on that $5, and you watch what God will do with everything else. Fast forward about a year later, and we were actually about this time getting ready to come here to PCC. And our church family decided to give us a goodbye party. And Mary comes up to me and she just says, hey, I need to thank you for helping me through that time. And I said, okay, well, explain to me a little bit. She says, I have seen God's blessing on my life ever since I started giving that $5. She was now up to $20 a month. Praise God, $20 a month, she went up because God was helping with the hospital bills. People were just sending her money, and she was the most quietest person you would ever talk to. She wasn't the one that asked, and people were just sending to her. But here's the great one. Her daughter, I saw this personally, her daughter got off drugs. Come on. And gave her life to Christ in that year. And I'm telling you, she was a powerhouse for God. Come on. Friends.
Praise the Lord.
Praise. Yeah, come on. Let's praise him. Let's praise him.
Yeah.
See, God can do a lot with our little.
Yeah, amen. And I think as you were talking, it reminded us, oftentimes we want to start off with the big splash. But God loves to start small. And when Mael was teaching last week, she did a great job breaking down. And I've actually had some people ask me some questions about how we should be giving. And she broke it down beautifully. Our tithe is first. The first fruits is the tithe. And tithe stands for the tenth, right? But then as you grow in the grace of giving, then we start giving offerings above and beyond our tithes. Like when we support over almost 100 missionaries. Those are all above the tithes. And then, and you see in scripture, there was something called, and Mael talked about this last week, an extravagant offering, where Mary poured out all the perfume on Jesus' feet and wept. That was over a year's worth of wages. That's an extravagant offering. The Lord wants all of us to grow in generosity, but isn't it amazing that he loves to start small. In the Bible, there's a cool passage about this. What is it?
Yeah, Zechariah 4:10 says, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line of Zerubbabel's hand. See, the Jews were in exile for about 70 years, and when they came back, their temple was destroyed. And as you can imagine, they had to start small.
Yeah.
And so they became discouraged in this moment because what they wanted was they wanted it now. But they also wanted it to look like when Solomon built the temple. Yeah. And so in this moment, God encourages them. He said, hold up, I rejoice in the small things. And if I can rejoice in the small things, then you should be able to rejoice in the small as well.
Absolutely. And so when we start this journey, I don't know where you're at in this journey of generosity. Maybe you've been giving and tithing. I just want to encourage you, God has a next step for you. God has a next step for me. In other words, there's another place where you can be more generous, whether it's your time, your talent, your treasure. There's always growth in the kingdom of God. Yeah. But maybe you're here, and just like that lady that you were talking about, Mary, she didn't have a lot, but she started really small. God can always do more than we think with the small things. And just like that passage in Zechariah, there's another story in the Gospel of John. Who has their Bibles? You want to wave it at us? Come on, get your Bibles out. The joke around here is get your Bibles out and silence your phones. In the name of Jesus. John chapter 6, verse 1. John chapter 6, verse 1. As you're turning there, we'll set this story up for you really quickly. This is one of the largest food distribution ministries in history. Jesus is about to feed 5,000 people. 5,000 men, excuse me. 5,000 men. And as he's getting ready, and you've probably heard this story before, but Jesus takes a little bit and does more than anybody thought possible. So in John chapter 6, verse 1, it says this: after this, Jesus crossed over to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. A huge crowd kept following him wherever he went because they saw his miraculous signs as he healed the sick. Then Jesus climbed a hill and sat down with his disciples around him. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration. Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, he asked, "Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do.
Yeah, Philip replied, "Even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them." Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, "There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd? Tell everyone to sit down," Jesus said. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men alone numbered about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed them to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish. And they all ate as much as they wanted. After everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, "Now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." So they picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. When the people saw him do this miraculous sign, they exclaimed, "Surely he is the prophet we have been expecting." When Jesus saw that they were ready to force him to be their king, he slipped away into the hills by himself.
Come on, isn't that incredible? I've heard that story before. It's still pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Feeding people with that small of a lunch. And one of the things we want you to write down, if you're taking notes this morning, our big idea is that generosity is designed to grow. Generosity is designed to grow. One of the things that's so important about the kingdom of God is he may start small, but it doesn't end small. God continues to grow in generosity. He's not done. And one of the things that's fascinating about God is that he grows things in unusual ways. He just says, "Bring me a lunch," and he prays over it, breaks it, and next thing you know, could you imagine seeing that? Just like, where does it keep coming? 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 I'm full. There's left over. There's abundance. And I think oftentimes we don't realize that God will be able to use the small things that we have in absolutely unusual ways. One of the ways I was looking at this in history, I'm sure most of us have heard of the industrialist Henry Ford. Who's heard of Henry Ford? All right, 3 of you? Okay. There's a car called the Ford Mustang. Anyways, when he was alive, a hospital had contacted him and was asking for donations to help build it, and he decided to give, that he was going to give $5,000 to this medical facility. Well, the newspaper heard about it and reported, and it was published, and as he opened the newspaper a few days later, it said, "Henry Ford pledges to give $50,000. And he was ticked off. So he ran down to the newspaper and said, "You need to print a retraction. You need to fix this. This is not right." And they said, "Okay, here's what the headline will read. Henry Ford takes $45,000 away from the medical hospital and decides to give $5,000. So he was upset about it, as you would imagine. But then he said this. He said, "I will give $50,000 if you write what the Bible says. I came among you and you took me in." He gave it. Generosity comes in crazy ways. Yeah. And I found this true in my own life. There will be times where God will bless me or do things with it that I could not think, imagine, or ask. but he does it, and it's incredible. But one of the things we have to remember, if you're like me and I'm generous, I want things to like go smooth and easy. There's always enough. But the first point we want you to write down is that oftentimes generosity will have opposition. Generosity will have opposition. I don't know about you, but oftentimes when I'm about ready to give, there's something inside me that's like, no, maybe God didn't say to give that much. Maybe I should hold on. Maybe I should hold on to my, I need more me time. I don't want to be generous with my time. I got to take care of myself. My kids, I want to just stay small. In fact, and you read that story, one of the disciples, Philip, the first thing he says is, you know what? That's not enough. He said that right away. That's not enough, Jesus. And one of the barriers all of us are going to have to break down in our lives, just so you know that we're going to have to get over it, is you're going to face opposition. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, you will face opposition.
You will face opposition.
You will face opposition. And then tell them, but don't worry, it's not me. It's not me. It's not me. It's not me, Jason.
It's not me either.
It's not me. But here's the truth. Other people will oppose you. The enemy will oppose you. Even you can oppose you. But if we're going to be generous, I think one of the cool things, it's just like if you were fighting somebody like boxing. I don't really box very often, but just in case. If you know a punch is coming, you can dodge it much easier, can't you? The same thing is true. If you know there's going to be opposition, then you have a better opportunity to say, you know what? Even in spite of opposition, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be generous.
Yeah. In my hand, if you can see this, is a mustard seed. This little tiny mustard seed. But what makes this tiny little mustard seed so special is that it represents growth. This seed in my hand is tiny today, okay? It's tiny today, but one day it's going to be something big. But I have to choose to take that small step in planting this seed. Yeah. But if I choose to take this seed and do nothing with it and hold it to myself, then it will always remain a seed. See, living a generous life comes down to making a decision. Yeah. It comes down to making a decision daily to be generous. It takes us taking small steps every day to live a generous life. And when we do this, we allow God to do more than we could ever think, ask, or imagine with our little steps. It's telling God that we understand that this little seed or our little step in God's hands can do big and great things. Mm-hmm. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." A little in God's hands can go a long ways.
Yes, it can. And it's just amazing when you look at the size of this mustard seed. Can anybody see it back there? We had a little picture. Let's put the picture. This is what it grows into. Boom. Not too shabby, right? It's amazing what God can do, infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Even in the face of opposition. I don't want to lose my mustard seed. I lost it.
We got a couple.
It'll grow. The tree's going to come. Hold on. Make sure we plant in the right areas. But even if you face opposition, we're still called to be generous, aren't we? And I just think, let's just be honest, one of the most difficult things that can happen in our lives is when you choose to be generous. There will be people that you care about, people that you're in relationship that won't understand it. And they may actually criticize you for it. Will you still be generous with that kind of opposition? There's a pastor named Charles Spurgeon. I'm sure many of you have heard of him. He was a pastor in London and wrote lots of books, has been very, very influential. Him and his wife they raised chickens, which apparently Pastor Chip's going to be having for Thanksgiving. I don't know about that, but they raised chickens, and they would whenever the chickens would have eggs, they would sell the eggs, and they sold them all over at a decent price, but they just sold them, and they wouldn't even give their immediate family members eggs. They would have to buy the eggs. So no matter who was around them, you had to buy these eggs. And people in the congregation actually complained about him not being generous. They talked poorly about Spurgeon because he said he was selfish and all he wanted was greed and money, and he was selling all these eggs and trying to make a profit. It was all about him, all about him. When he passed away, it was discovered later that him and his wife, all of those years, were giving every single dime that was given to those eggs to two widows who couldn't have enough. He had been generous the whole time, and him and his wife lived this. Matthew 6:3, do not let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Yeah. I want to encourage all of us, be careful what you judge. Who wants to be the person opposing someone who's just trying to be generous? Because the truth is, none of us would want to do that. We want to encourage each other to be generous. But so many times I see this over and over in the body of Christ. Somebody starts to reach out and it just takes a look. A nose raise. Are you sure you should be giving that away? Didn't we just read in Ephesians that our God is a limitless God? He's all powerful. I just want to encourage you. Be someone who's generous, not trying to hold back. Be someone who's pushing people forward in the kingdom, not trying to pull them down, because I believe that we are generous. We are generous. Let's not oppose generosity. Let's look to encourage generosity, because generosity is designed to grow. And the second thing we wrote down was this: generosity starts small.
Yeah, in verses 8 through 9, it says, then Andrew, Simon, Peter's brother, spoke up. There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd? When you read the Bible, I just love how throughout the Bible, God will start small and make it just big. So just take this story, for example. He feeds 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Think about how he sends a raven to feed Elijah. Think about how Samson takes a jawbone and defeats an entire army.
Come on.
Can't forget about our boy King David. With a little pebble, defeats a giant and leads Israel to victory. Think about how God used something that would be worthless to you and me. He used a pebble to kill a giant and lead Israel to victory. Mm-hmm. See, God can never underestimate God, how something little in his hands can go a long way.
Yeah. God loves to do things small, but if you're like me, I don't like things to stay small. I like things to grow. I like things to be big. I like a big splash. If I'm going to do a cannonball, I'm going to beat you no matter how much you weigh or how much I weigh. I am going to make a big splash. I don't know why. That's how I'm wired. I like to win. Anybody with me on this? You just like big splashes, and then God will do something small in my life, and I'm like, God, I don't want it like that. Anybody ever have that happen to you? When I was in high school, our youth pastor had this vision that we were going to reach our schools. It was called SOS, Save Our Schools. And Jason and I were joking, maybe it needed to be Start Out Small.
Yeah.
But anyways, he was this vision. It was like, we were going to start a small group in every high school. It's going to be crazy. You're going to reach all your friends for Christ, blah, 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 blah. So we're trained up. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. We're reading our Bibles. We're praying. Man, we are going to take our campuses for Jesus. I'm ready to rock. So I get on my school, I invite all my friends, I'm talking to them, the night comes, I'm doing all this planning, touch cards, prayer. I think I even told people I'd give them candy if they showed up. I don't know. I was trying anything I could to get people to come to this Save Our School small group. So the day comes, I'm at this guy's house, and one other person shows up. Me, the guy who started it, the person whose house who had to be there, and some other person who just was randomly there. And I'm telling you, I was so discouraged. I was like, man, I'm not going to do this. The Lord is not with me. I quit. I give up. You ever been in high school and you have the whines? You're just whining about everything in high school. I was just And I went to my youth pastor and I just said, I quit. I quit. God can't save my school. And he took me back to that passage in Zechariah. He said, the Lord actually delights in small beginnings because he enjoys seeing it grow. And he just started pouring life into me. And I just want to encourage you. There's some of you here. You need to pour life into some people that are discouraged right now. They're not sure if they're going to make it. Yes, you can make it. Yes, we can. Absolutely. So he starts pouring into me. And I said, all right, I'll try it again. So we went back. By the end of that school year, we had over 100 kids in our small groups. Three different groups were born out of that because we didn't give up and we stayed at it. I just want to encourage, I feel like there's just this sense of opposition even here right now that you've started something and you're ready to give up. And church, I just want to tell you, God loves to start small. Don't quit. Don't give up. Believe that the Lord Jesus is with you. He is for you. So who can be against you? Because the tension is, because it's small, I want to throw in the towel. That lunch, it would never feed 5,000 people. It would never do enough. Don't despise the small, church.
That's right.
Don't despise the small.
Amen.
What is it in your life that's in your hand that you're looking at right now and you're thinking, it will never be good enough? It will never be what I want it to be. Well, maybe it's more than you thought or imagined.
Yeah.
Because that's the kind of God we serve. Because the truth is, generosity, it may start small, but number three, if you're writing it down, it never stays small. It does not stay small.
Yeah, in this story, we read about 5,000 people being fed. But when you start to dig into this story, a lot of scholars actually believe there was more around like 15 to 20,000 people that were fed that day. Because remember, these men had families and had children, so they think it was more around the 15 to 20,000. But also, the barley bread was meant for poor people. That's really who would have the barley bread. They didn't get the good wheat. They had barley. So this little boy who was carrying this little lunch, there was more to him handing that over to Jesus.
Yeah.
He had these five loaves. That could have been their whole month's worth, or 2 months. We don't know. But just imagine yourself in that. You're poor, and you're this guy says, hey, don't worry, hand that over to me. And watch this. That's a hard thing to probably do for this little boy.
Absolutely.
But the boy was obedient and said, here you go.
Yeah.
I'm going to see what Jesus can do with my five loaves and two fish. I'm going to ask you to prove yourself here. And so this little boy hands this small sacrifice. Yeah. Yes, it was small, but in God's hands, it did big things.
Mm-hmm.
See, just like this little tiny mustard seed in my hand,
mm-hmm.
what seems small and insignificant in our hands feeds the thousands.
Yeah.
In God's hands.
Yeah.
That's why generous never stays small.
Never stays small. And one of the things we want to really make sure we're communicating as well is that when we say generous, we're not just talking about finances, are we?
Yeah.
We're talking about every area of our life is supposed to be generous. Some of us here, you've been given gifts by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that they're gifts to be given? They're actually not supposed to just stay within you all by yourself. You are filled with power by the Holy Spirit to be a bold witness. There's a story in the book of Daniel. We've been studying this at our house with our son, Titus. And Daniel is an amazing story because he gets plucked out of his house out of his family, and he gets into exile, and he gets put in front of the king. And there's lots of different things that happen. But one of the coolest things about Daniel that I just love is that there's these dreams that the king has. And the dream is that it's a bad dream. He's going to be destroyed. The kingdom's going to be destroyed. And he doesn't know what it means. And the king brings him in, and he's like, I don't want to tell you. I'm afraid to tell you. But it's going to be bad for you. I'm afraid to tell you. And the king like reassures him over and over. Isn't it true that even with the best things that God has in us, we don't always want to offer him up? We're like, I don't know if I want to give this away. I'm not sure if that... Have you ever had like a message for somebody or a word and you're so afraid to share it with them? Like, what if I'm wrong? What if this isn't you, God? What if it was pizza? And we just wrestle in our spirits and we pray about it. I don't know. Have you ever had this one? You see somebody and they need to hear the message of the gospel. And you're like, God, should I tell them about you? What do you think the answer is? Yes! Do you think God's ever going to say, no, you shouldn't share how much I love them. No. Don't tell them how much my love is for them. No. We all have these oppositions, don't we? We start small, but it grows. So Daniel hears this vision, and he finally gives over the interpretation, and it's not good. The kingdom is going to fall. This man is going to die. But look what happens. Daniel 4, verses 2 and 3, it says, this is King Nebuchadnezzar. This is what he says. I want you all to know about the miraculous signs and wonders the Most High God has performed for me. How great are his signs, how powerful his wonders. His kingdom will last forever, his rule through all generations. This is a pagan king. Some of us, we need to remember what God can do to the heart of a king. How about to the heart of a president? Are we writing people off that God's saying, I can turn any heart to me? This is a pagan king saying that the faithfulness of God will go for generation to generation. When you are generous with the word of God, when you're generous with your time, when you're generous with your finances, when you're generous with how you live, there's no end to what God can do. The ripple effect is amazing. This is a pagan king saying God's faithfulness will go from generation to generation to generation. How much more should the word of God through the people of God last for generation to generation? I want to encourage you, start declaring the promises of God. Start declaring the truth of God over your family, over your kids, over our president, over our governor. Some people are like in the depths of despair, like Anne of Green Gables, because they think America's over and gone. We serve a God above all of this. Yeah. We are not afraid. We do not shrink back. Are we giving permission to it or saying it's okay? No, it's not okay. But we're fighting for a kingdom that's way greater that will last forever. I want to just encourage every single person here, pray more, give more. There's a God of abundance that will do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ever ask or imagine. If he can turn the heart of Nebuchadnezzar, he can turn anybody's heart. Remember, generosity is designed to grow. Say it with me, 1, 2, 3. Generosity is designed to grow.
Yeah, in this story, we can see how it's designed to grow with this 5 loaves and 2 fish. Look at verses 12 through 13 with me. It says, after everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted. So they picked up the pieces and filled the 12 baskets and scraps left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. Wow. Like, don't miss this. Yeah. We can't miss this. Not only did Jesus feed the thousands with a boy's lunch, dinner, maybe for the month, not only did he feed them with this, just this little amount, but they had more left over than when they even began. Yeah. Like, do you believe with your small amount that God could even do even greater things than what you're even asking? You may be saying, Lord, I'm starting with the 5. Get me to 20. But he says, hey, with your faithfulness, I'm going to get you to 50. Come on. I'm going to allow you to bless people because of what I've done in your life. Are you believing in a powerful, mighty God that can do more than we ask and imagine? That's the posture of heart that we have to have when we come to God and say, here's my $5. See, generosity is designed to grow. So I'm going to ask you today is, where is God asking you to grow in your generosity? See, one of the areas that God has inspired me to grow in generosity is through my wife, Courtney. If you know her, she's a very generous person. She is the definition of giving her shirt off her back. And I've seen her many times go to the Dollar Tree and she'll buy hygiene packs just so she can pass them out to people that are begging for money at a stop sign. Instead of looking at them as a burden or even judging what they're asking for, she's saying, I want to be to live a generous life. I want them to see that they are valued. I want them to see that they're loved. Is it small? Absolutely, it's small. But don't miss the picture in this. Every time that she hands a bag in Jesus' name, that's building her life. That is building her life. We don't know what it's doing to that person. That is not our job. Our job in that moment is to be obedient and to be faithful for what God is going to do through that. Her is to say, I want to live a generous life. I want to show my kids how to be generous. She grabs them and puts them in the car and drives around. I had to get on her because she went into the homeless camp list. I'm like, whoa, hold up. Like, take me next time on that. Like, that's, I love your generosity, girl, but like going into there kind of scares me a little bit. But that's her. That's how she has built her life. And I had to sit when I was thinking about this story. Usually it's preach to yourself first. And I had to sit back and say, Lord, where do I need to grow in generosity? Where do I need to grow? Because the truth of the matter is that aren't we all on a journey to grow in our generosity? Each and every one of us here needs to grow in our generosity. It's something that we'll probably have to always work on until the Lord takes us home. But that's the truth. We all need to keep growing in our generosity.
Man, that's really good. Thank you, Jesus. If I could have the worship team come up as we get ready to close our message. Why does God want us to grow in generosity? Have you thought about that? Why do you think God would want us to grow in generosity? In this passage in verse 14, we actually see why. When the people saw him do this miraculous sign, they exclaimed, surely he is the prophet we have been expecting. When Jesus saw that they were ready to force him to be their king, he slipped away into the hills by himself. They wanted him to be the king on earth, but he was already the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But did you see why Jesus wants us to be generous? Because other people will see there must be a God. It points people to Jesus. When you're generous in the name of Jesus, it points people to the Heavenly Father. It points God. It points others to God. So we're going to pull out the mustard seed one more time. And I'm going to ask everyone to stand, if that's okay. If those are able, would you stand with me for just a moment? And Pastor Jason. And I want to do something. I know you can't see it from where you are, but I've got a mustard seed in my hand. I'm holding it and I'm praying it doesn't fall. If you're like me, even the little small things that I would look in my life and say, that is small, not small. My tendency in the natural is to do this with it. It's mine. I earned those wages. I earned that interest. I worked hard. It's mine. And oftentimes, God will be prompting our spirits to do something with what is in your hand. And he'll be saying, I want you to give this to me. Why? Because generosity is designed to grow. And it will point people to him. And if you're here today and you're like me, there may be a part of your heart, a part of your life, a part of you that's saying, no, I'm going to hold that. God, I give you everything, and it sounds like this. I give you everything but that. Is there anything in your life that you're withholding from Jesus right now? Maybe you're here this morning and you have not given your heart to Jesus Christ. I want to tell you right now, today's your day. Today's your day of salvation. In fact, I just feel like there's people here, whether you're online or you're here, we're gonna give you an opportunity to receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If I could have, just let's bow our heads for a moment. If you're here this morning or if you're online and you don't know Jesus, he's been so generous to you. He loves you. Or maybe you've ran away from God and it's time to come back home. I want to encourage you right now. If you want to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, would you just slip your hand right where you're at? I just want to pray for you. We won't embarrass you or do anything like that. Just want to know if I can pray with you if you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. Anybody here? Okay. Well, we're going to pray for those maybe online. If you're online and you raise your hand, just put it in the chat. We'd love to pray with you. But let's pray. Father, we pray right now for anybody here that's receiving you as their personal Lord and Savior. I ask, God, that they would confess their sins to you. You'd make them brand new, and they would follow you all the days of their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, here's the activation. You ready, church? What's in your hand? What is in your hand? It's time to be generous. Could be small. The good news with God, comparatively to him, it's always small. But he's gonna make it grow. We have some mustard seeds up here. And I want just to encourage you, if there's areas in your life where you're ready to give Jesus what's in your hand, grab a mustard seed to remind you of that. Also, we have prayer cards. If there's things in your life that you need prayer for, we would love to pray with you. And remember, next week on the 27th, we are going to give exceedingly abundantly above all. We can ask or imagine. Are you going to do that? We're going to partner with God. We're going to do, because our little is what God then takes and says exceedingly abundantly above all we can ever ask or imagine. That's not ours, it's his. That's not ours, that's his. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray together. Pastor Jason, would you pray in just a second over our hands? And I just pray, if you're here today, if there's something you're holding on to, would you make a fist right here? Just hold it. If there's something you're holding on to, you need to let go. Make a fist right where you're at. Make a fist. And Pastor Jason's going to pray. And as he prays, he's going to ask you to release it in faith and just open your hand and worship Jesus as we sing this song. Yeah. So whatever it is that you're holding on to, Jason, would you pray and break that off us for us?
Thank you, Lord. We come to you. We thank you for this moment. I pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to speak to hearts, Lord, and Lord, you're moving in the hearts just like you did in Mary that day. Lord, some people are holding on to that $5. Some people are embarrassed. Some people just don't know how to start. So Lord, I pray as your Holy Spirit speaks to them, that they will begin to understand, to release what is in their hand over to you. That whatever they're holding on to, Lord, you are greater than. Whatever they're holding on to, Lord, you can supply tenfold. Whatever they're holding on to has a greater need for people in his kingdom. So, Lord, I pray as people search today in their hearts that you will reveal to them. But, Lord, there will come opposition in this moment. There's going to come opposition to where their mind's going to start doubting, or they're going to start questioning, is this real, or really can I do this? And Lord, I pray that you will whisper in their ear that it's okay that they release it. That they release it into your hands. And so Lord, I'm going to ask on the count of three, that they release it to you and they say, Lord, it's not mine anymore, but it is yours. Lord, that you will use what I'm holding on to and make it bigger, that you will make it impact your kingdom. I don't want to hold on to this anymore, but it's yours. One. Two. Three. I just think at this moment we need to just say thank you, Lord, for your freedom. Thank you, Lord, that I can trust you and I relinquish this to you. Lord, in those moments when opposition comes, let your word fill my heart. Let your word fill my mind. Let your promises come to my mind, Lord, that you are going to do greater things with what I released to you today. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that we can trust in our small steps. You will do great and mighty things, more than we could ever think or imagine, because of who you are, the mighty, powerful God. So, Lord, I thank you, and we make sure to give you the praise, honor, and glory that you deserve in your mighty name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's worship together, and when you're ready, you can respond during the song.
Thank you for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you'd like to hear more or learn more about us, visit our website at pcctoday.com or join us online for our live stream at 10:30 at live.pcctoday.com.